Message take one. Action.
Well, it's great to be here sharing the Word of God with you. I'm really excited to do that. Next week, we welcome our president, David Hearn, to be preaching to us. And I thought I would tee him up. He's going to preach, I think, from Revelation 1, talking about Jesus and mission. But I wanted today just to paint a picture of who Jesus really is and what he means to me, and hopefully what he means to you as well. We're just coming off a series on Psalm 23, this beautiful psalm that I think is familiar to many of us, where it talks about what our life with God as believers looks like under his care, under his providence. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. There is nothing I will lack because God provides. Talking about life under God in his guidance. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he leads me to green pastures. The renovation that God brings into our lives. He restores my soul, Psalm 23 says. The protection that God gives to us as well, the protection of his staff, but also the instruction and discipline of his rod. And of course, his presence. We can dwell in the house of God forever. And so those beginning words, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's not forget that Jesus is the good shepherd, as the Gospel of John in chapter 10 tells us, and even in Hebrews 13, that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and reminding us that all that God supplies, all that he gives us, everything we see, everything we don't see, is made possible only in Christ and through Christ. And even the righteousness that we have for his name's sake, the name of Jesus in Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua. And that really means Yahweh, or God, Yahweh, saves. And so even embedded in Jesus, in God's name, is Jesus there. And I think we forget sometimes that we who say we follow Christ, that we bear his name. If we call ourselves Christian, we bear Christ's name. Now I think about the people who follow Justin Bieber. You know, they're called believers, or maybe you're out there too. Maybe, if you love Taylor Swift, you're called a Swiftie, Ed Sheeran, a Sheerio. If you like Harry Potter, you're a Potterhead. I just found out this week that that Pastor Jerry's daughter, Mandy, was a huge Potterhead when she was younger. And all of these followers of these people, they are zealous for their namesake. They love them. And you know, it makes me think, what about us? What about us? Because some of us, I think, maybe know more about our favorite athlete, our favorite actor, our favorite musician, our musician or musical artist, or maybe even a YouTuber, an Instagram star, a TikToker. We know more about them than we do Jesus himself. More than we know about Jesus' life and his character and his priorities. Now, as parents, for me and for my wife, Grace, our goal in our family has ever and always been to create an environment through our words and through our actions and through our practices that would point to Jesus and to make much of him. We do that through sharing with our kids. When we have things that we discern in our lives, we pull them into those conversations. We've tried to lay a foundation for a biblical worldview. We pray with them. We teach them from the Word. Part of our decision to homeschool our children was born of the feeling compelled about the responsibility to disciple our own children. We want them to have and to see life through the lenses of Christ crucified and Christ glorified. Now, these days, we wonder how successful we've been at that. And, you know, we've always known, and we really feel it more acutely these days than ever, how powerless we are to affect change in their lives. Because ultimately, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't affect change in their lives. That is God's power to do that through the Spirit in people's lives, in the lives of our children and any one's life, really. But as parents, we are called to have an effect on them. by maximizing the conditions for the work of the Spirit to take hold in their lives. Now, we know we cannot and do not control the outcome. That's up to God, but we can and we must influence and instruct them. Now, this also goes for those God calls us to share His love and His life with. It's not just our responsibility as parents to our children. There are people all around us that God is calling us in relationship to. God is calling us to be a light in the darkness, a lamp on the lampstand, to model who Jesus is, to reflect His glory so that they can see Him and know Him. And not only do we teach others in that way, we also teach and remind ourselves when we take on that posture in that role in other people's lives. And the most important thing that we can share, the most important thing that we can model is this from Colossians chapter 3, verses 11b. It says, "But Christ is all and in all." Christ is all and in all. That is the most important thing that we can model and share with those around us. This is the mantra of our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada, that we are Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused. I guarantee you, you're going to hear that next week from our president, Dave Hearn. But that speaks to the centrality of Jesus and the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ for everything that we need. Christ is all, and Christ is in all. I want you to just let that statement roll off your tongue. Say it. If you're sitting at home, just say it out loud to yourself. Christ is all, and in all. Let that roll around in your mind. Let it take hold in your heart. Charles Spurgeon, who was a famous preacher and pastor, he famously said when preaching on this verse that if he were to try to give all the meaning of this boundless text, it would take all time and eternity, and even then he would fall short. And so I'm not going to pretend that I'll be able to cover all the bases, maybe just an iota of what it is meant. We may never fully grasp Christ's allness on this side of eternity as it pertains to God's eternal purposes. But what we do know from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, is that all of God's promises find their yes in Him. All of God's promises find their yes in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. But for us, for right now, Christ is all when it comes to how we think and how we speak and how we act in our lives. All of Christ, His personality, His character, His priorities must impact all of our life. All of Christ impacts all of life. And so today, that is what I'm preaching to you. That's what I'm preaching to myself, really. That Jesus is all and in all, to remind us of who we have come to worship and who it is that we build our lives upon. I just want to paint a picture for you today of Jesus that is just beautiful and captivating. A picture that will lead you to worship and reflect on the impact that He's already had in your life and the impact that He desires to make and still make in you and through you. Now, we're going to look at Scripture quite a bit today, so I'm just going to warn you in advance. Actually, I'm going to encourage you to grab your Bible. If you need to press pause for a second and go and physically get your Bible, I'm a big fan of having to flip through pages of a Bible in order to locate a verse. You know, we get kind of lazy when it's just like type it in and then it pops up on our screens, right? So let's go old school here. Why don't you go grab a Bible, just press pause, and when you come back, I'm going to tell you the verses we're going to go, and then you can pause it when that happens to look it up and then press play, and then we can continue. So let's do that. But before, let's pray together. Father in heaven, You are just such a good and gracious and loving God. God, slow to anger, abounding in loyal love. And we are just in love with you. And we thank you for your Son. God, I pray that you would draw us in close to you, that we would come to know you through the way your Son has revealed himself to us in the scriptures and in prayer and personally, Lord, all the ways that he shows himself to us in his character, in his personality, and in his priorities. God, would you just remind us of his beauty and his majesty in the time that we have today together, and that we would reaffirm this foundation that our lives are built upon, the foundation that is Jesus Christ himself. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look primarily in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. So if you want to pause and go and grab Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, and I'm going to read it for you right now. This is from the English Standard Version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We're going to focus on the statement that's at the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2. I'll read it for you again just right now. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith. This word author, I've always loved this word. It's you find it here in other translations, they use some other words that are also effective, but this idea of author, that there is a creative mind, a craftsman, an artist, that is Jesus when it comes to how he handles our faith. He is the potter, and we are the clay, the way a potter just takes a lump, a formless lump of clay, and then makes it into something beautiful, a vessel of some sort for his youth. For his use. Jesus himself was a carpenter, and he would take wood and he would transform it into beautiful pieces. I mean, I don't know if it was art, but it was definitely functional, but from pieces of wood into something beautiful and functional. And so Jesus is the author of our faith in that way. I love in John chapter 1 where right off the bat it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So Jesus being the author, that the word for word in John chapter 1 is logos. Logos, again, meaning literally word, but also reason or ground. Jesus is the reason, the ground. He is the first. He is the author. All things were made through him, it continues in John. And there was nothing that was made without him. All things were made through him. I want to bring you to a beautiful poetic treatise that the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 18, that punctuates this point that Jesus is the author of our faith, but that he is also this genesis, the originator, this author that we're talking about. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18 says this: he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. That he might be preeminent. This statement by him, by Jesus Christ, all things were created. And to describe it, that whether it's in heaven, on earth, that's pretty much everything that we know, whether visible or invisible, just to make sure that we're not just relying on our senses, even stuff that we can't see or feel or hear or touch, that too, thrones, dominions, rulers, all of it came into existence because of Jesus Christ. All things were made through him. He is preeminent, it tells us in Colossians. Preeminent, meaning that he is superior. He is surpassing all others. He is the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the very top. So Christ then is above us in that sense. His preeminence sets him above us. Being in very nature, God, Christ, who pre-existed creation, he entered that creation through his incarnation. And though he had made all things came into being because of him. Even though he did that, he suffered in lonely agony in Gethsemane. Just take that in for a second. Jesus, who made all things are in existence because of him, the loneliness he felt in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he knew where the trajectory of his earthly life was taking him. And then that following afternoon, he did the unprecedented, as only the preeminent one could do, as the preeminent one became the punished one. And then 3 days later, he shattered all precedents by rising from the dead. And his incredible condescension culminated in an ascension to the place of highest glory. Now, you heard just now before Jerry prayed, he read this verse. He says, since then, so from Hebrews 4:14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. Jesus stands above us as the author of our faith because he has held nothing back from us. He who dwelt in the heavens in eternity past in perfect co-union with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, he made himself nothing, poured himself out, took the form of a servant, took on flesh and blood so that he could do what no other living person born of a woman could do, to restore our relationship with the Father through his righteousness, a righteousness that he freely gives us and that we can freely receive in faith. That is what it means that Jesus is the author of our faith, but not only by him were all things created. He is also the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is before all things. He is the beginning. Before anything came to be, Jesus Christ was. Again, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word being the Logos, being Christ himself. And so in that sense, not only is he preeminent, not only is he above all things, he is also prevenient. He precedes us in time and order. And so Christ above us, but also Christ before us. Hebrews 4:15, which you heard earlier as well. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So not only is Christ before us in time and in order, his being made in the likeness of man means that he's gone before us in encountering the entire gamut of human emotion and lived experience. Actually, the New International Version, when it comes to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Christ is the pioneer. Jesus has gone before us. He's the first one who experienced it, as it should be experienced in a sinless, godly way. And so, just pay attention to that. As we are hurt then by those we love and are learning to forgive, Christ has gone before us. As we wrestle with the pain of loss, Christ has gone before us. As we struggle with our identity, Christ has gone before us. And when we finally enter into that place where death is no more, where every tribe and every tongue and every nation dwells in unity, Christ will have gone before us. Jesus is the author of our faith, but not only the author of our faith, he is the perfecter of our faith. And this work, which he began, he will also see to completion. That's a promise that we heard in Philippians chapter 1, if you remember when we preached through that series. The work that Jesus begins in us, he will see to completion. It is ongoing. Jesus never stops. Through the activity of his Spirit molding and shaping us into his image on this side of heaven, on this side of eternity, that process will not cease. God, Jesus is actively transforming us, bringing that work of faith he has placed in us to completion and perfection on the day we will meet him face to face. Listen to the words of J.I. Packer, again, theologian, pastor, writer. He says, Christian faith is shaped and its nature is determined entirely by its object. Just as the impression on a seal is shaped entirely by a die stamp that is pressed down into hot wax. Let me read that again. Christian faith is shaped and its nature determined entirely by its object. Just as the impression on a seal is shaped entirely by a die stamp that is pressed down on hot wax. Now, we might not be as familiar with this process as, you know, life was once was, where when you sent a letter, you would have a signet ring, and on that signet ring, you would pour hot wax and you would stamp your mark into it so that people knew that it was from you. And the way the wax conforms to the image that is imprinted on it. That is the picture of how Jesus comes and perfects our faith. That is the faith that he is perfecting in us. This transforming power of his Spirit to have his mind, to have his heart, to love the work and the mission of his kingdom, that is the faith that Jesus is perfecting in us. And folks, it's not natural for us to want that. We don't. In our natural fallen state, we run away from that. Our inclination is against all of what Jesus wants. But Jesus actively brings our faith and perfects it and moves us towards him. We call this ongoing process of Jesus perfecting our faith, the $2 theological word for it is sanctification. Sanctification is simply to be shaped into Christ's image, to be set apart for good works. And this requires, this act of sanctification requires that we turn every part of ourselves over to him. This isn't something that Jesus coerces out of us. This isn't something he manipulates us into. This isn't something he forces us to do. No, there is a cooperation, there is an agency. What Jesus initiates, we also respond to. And so there is an active act of surrender. There's an active act of, another word that I've come across in my studies, abnegation. I just love this word. Abnegation, a giving up of your own will to take on the will of God and the will of Christ. And so we learn that Christ is all and in all, and the Christ who is all and in all also demands our all. And I say that again. Christ who is in all and who is all demands our all. The hymnist would say, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. We come to him like this and we say, no more, God, just take me as I am. Do with me what you will. That is the response that we have to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And I'll tell you, friends, that act of surrender, it is ongoing. It's not something that just happens overnight. And sometimes we even move back a couple steps and we find that there are these old things in our lives that are gaining life again. And Jesus comes beside us and he says, no, come with me. Surrender. Give yourself over to this work that I'm doing in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he invites us in. He comes alongside of us. Now, I experienced it actually just this week. Our staff, we were on a retreat together. The district that we're part of had a prayer retreat. And I don't want to say too much about it, but leading up to this retreat, I found that one of the speakers there was someone that was connected to some trauma in my life, if I can just say it that way. And leading up to it, I was equivocating whether or not I should even go. I didn't want to be around this guy, and like I felt like I couldn't listen to what he had to share because I didn't believe it could be authentic, to be honest. And but while I was there, I was even going to skip the first session, just because, you know, I just wasn't feeling it. But upon examining myself, realizing, even as I was having conversations, like, oh, if I saw him, what would I say to him? You know, all of this back and forth, but realizing that the issue wasn't him, the issue was in me. There was bitterness, there was resentment, there was unforgiveness in my heart toward this brother in Christ. And so I forced myself to go to that first session to listen to what he had to say. And as I was watching and taking it in, God just showed up. And you know, this act of leading or going where he would lead that I may not want to go, and this act of saying yes to Jesus, even though everything in me wanted to say no, I want to hold on to that bitterness. I want to hold on to that resentment. I don't want to have to face him or myself. But God and Jesus, in their graciousness, met me and just reminded me of the paramount act of forgiveness that Jesus showed me, a sinner, dying for me, and how I just needed to reciprocate that to this speaker. And so I just, you know, had a breakthrough, and God, just so faithful, freed me to forgive when I finally surrendered my will to him in that respect. So it doesn't happen all at once. I mean, we're all on a journey, but God just wants to make us more and more like his son. And we've come to see that Jesus, who is all and in all, that all of him is sufficient to meet all of our needs, that all of Christ can impact all of our life, that it must impact all of our life. So all of Christ simply is this, that Jesus, the Son of God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, fully God and fully man, incarnated, the Word made flesh, who's lived his life in obedience to the Father and willingly gave his life in surrender so that we could have eternal life in all of its fullness. He did so without holding anything back. He gave it all freely and completely, all of himself, for all of humanity, for all of God's plan to come to fruition, for all of creation to be made new. Christ gave all of himself so that we could have access to all that he gives, to be with him, to become like him, and to do the things that he did. All of Christ, for all of life, there is no part of our life that is unaffected, that is untouched by the finished work of Christ on the cross and the power of his Holy Spirit. We cannot, in one breath, call him Savior without at the same time declaring him as Lord. every facet of our life falls under His lordship, falls under His rule, falls under His reign. Our identity, our relationships, our career, our family, our future plans, all of it is subject to the plans that He has for you. As your life is what? It is bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. What is the impact that all of Christ makes on all of our life? This is the tension. This is the balancing, the meeting point. What must we do then to reflect His character and His priorities in everything that we think, in everything that we say, in everything that we do? All of Christ impacting all of life. This is what He calls us to on this side of heaven, on this side of eternity. But I want to leave you with this thought, that it isn't only in the here and now. All of life is that, but it is more than that. It's also in the hereafter. All of life is in the here and now, but it also is in the hereafter. So we must then understand our lives not only as the sum total of the thoughts and the words and the actions that we exist bodily on earth, but the ramifications, the consequences that those thoughts and words and actions have on eternity, both for ourselves and for those we influence and impact. Dare I say, not only the thoughts and the words and the actions that we have, but the words and the actions, the words that we don't speak and the actions that we don't act also have an impact on eternity. So as we live this out, as we reflect on what it means for us personally, for you personally, that Christ is all and in all, and that Christ, the allness of Christ is going to impact all of your life. As we live this out, I just pray that we would come to give our attention, our allegiance, and our activity to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for this reminder just of who Christ is and how much we owe to Him in our life and how much of our attention and our allegiance and activity belongs to Him, how much is all of it, because He is all and in all. And so God, would You just guide us and lead us to live our lives not for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again from the dead. God, we want to please You. We want to love You more fully and know You more deeply and be used more effectively for Your purposes in the world. And so would You open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts to You today. Be with us, Holy Spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.